Hello and welcome to Wildfulness, the podcast on nature, wellness, and life in the Allegheny Highlands, your exclusive audio source of history, culture, and news features that will deepen your connection to these mountains and their treasures. This is your day, so thanks for choosing to spend part of it with us. Greetings and welcome to episode number 33, Appalachian Spring, Romping Through the Ramps. Yes, spring is finally on its way. During the winter, you can get some serious cabin fever. Now, we all love to be outside and doing active and fun things like skiing and snowboarding, skating and sledding, even ice fishing. But when the winter season is long in the tooth, the snow is sporadic and the slopes are iffy at best, we can't help but dream of the first whiffs of spring. We dream of emerging wildflowers and bird songs and an end to the confines of the cold, no matter how warm and cozy we might be sitting by the fire or watching the birds at the backyard feeder. So what are the signs of spring in Western Maryland? Well, you can get snow here well into May and sometimes even June. And that's a thing. But in between those unpredictable cold snaps, you can hear the birds starting to pipe up. You can feel the sun's just a little bit warmer. You can feel the moisture in the ground and hear the extra volume of the gurgling streams and brooks, as well as the piping of the peepers and the wood frogs. And you can see a few snowdrops, bluebells, or other wildflowers starting to peek through. In fact, wildflowers to me truly signal that the cold blanket of winter is slowly melting away and that spring is breathing life back into the Appalachians' majestic eastern forests. The beauty of these wildflowers is rare and delicate and unique. And to me, it's, well, they're worth an outing into the still chilly spring air just to catch a glimpse. Most of all, you know when the wildflowers dare to emerge, it's time for foraging for spring mushrooms like morels and for ramps. Yes, indeed, spring in Appalachia is a very special time of year. Now, before we get too much further into the signs of spring, let me just say a little something about this music you've been hearing. It's called, fittingly, Appalachian Spring, and it was composed by the famous Aaron Copland, and it's got a long and storied history, having been created for the modern dancer Martha Graham as the music score to a ballet. But for many, myself included, it sounds just like the harbingers of spring that we're talking about, and its delicate and organic harmonies evoke the ambiance of spring and are to be savored just like the first few breaths of warm spring air. But I digress. So back to the signs of spring in the mountains. Wildflowers and ramps are the first green things in spring, at least in the mountains here. And while most flowers smell sweet and flowery, ramps are another story altogether. What's a ramp, you ask? Ramps are basically wild leeks, or some would say wild garlic. And in Latin, that's Allium trichocum, I think. Anyway, they occur at higher elevations in eastern North America from Georgia to Canada, and they're easily recognized by their one or two broad leaves measuring 1 to 2.5 inches wide and 4 to 12 inches long, and they have that pungent garlic smell. And of course, we've got great photos of them in the show notes at www.wildful.wordpress.com. These ramps are a member of the lily family, and they resemble scallions with their wide leaves and small white bulbs tinged a rusty red. The entire plant is edible, and when harvested, it's uprooted from the ground, bulb and all. Now, Now, interestingly enough, mountain folks and early settlers have for many decades looked forward to the return of the ramp after a winter of eating mostly dried foods, often believing the ramp to possess the revitalizing power of a spring tonic. And that's not unreasonable to think, because they are high in vitamins A and C. They're one of the earliest wild edibles to emerge, and for some, they are the holy grail of wild edibles. The early settlers, as I mentioned, relied on their restorative qualities after their long, hungry winters. And the high vitamin C I mentioned has saved many a mountaineer pioneer back in the day from scurvy and other nutritional maladies. As well, Native Americans from the Atlantic to the Mississippi, they knew and loved their ramps, as they were a sparkling and welcome addition to the bland winter diet, roots and grains. They also often used them in poultices to remedy bee stings and coughs and colds. So fast forward to today, when modern foragers, and especially urbanites, dream all year long about that uniquely pungent, garlicky, oniony flavor. And people go just plain gaga over these. Some folks find ramps so delicious that civilized people have actually fought over the last few bunches at farmers markets. They're so popular that they've monopolized the spring menus of top New York City chefs, and whole cookbooks are devoted to them. So coveted that they've inspired people to tattoo them onto their bodies. No lie, and I have a link to some examples in the show notes. In sum, people who like ramps don't just like them, they're obsessed with them. The pungent smell and flavor, which is a cross between garlic and onion, has earned them the nickname Little Stinkers. Well, in Appalachia's coal towns, where jobs are often hard to find, there are still usually ramps to be found, like in Richwood, West Virginia, home of the first ever ramp festival. Richwood, like many Appalachian towns, once thrived on lumber and coal, and as those industries fell on hard times, so did the town. Every spring, through this struggling Appalachian community celebrates its abundance of wild ramps still with an event that it calls the Feast of the Ramson. So, ramp feasting as an event began around 1921, when some Richwood, West Virginia men met for a cookout during ramp season. Eventually, their gathering moved indoors and came under the jurisdiction of the local Chamber of Commerce. The success of the Richwood event inspired other communities to start their own dinners, and the town went on to become home to the NRA, the National Ramp Association. As hundreds of people would wait in line for their meal, local songwriter John Wyatt would play his Richwood ramp song, including this verse. If you've never had the chance to partake of tasty ramps, come on up to Richwood in the spring, where there's ramps to say the least, and our annual Ramson Feast, and a great variety of other things. So here's an excerpt from the Inside Appalachia podcast about ramps, featuring the song and a touch of the history of the mighty ramp. There's also a link in our show notes to the whole episode of Inside Appalachia on ramps, which is well worth a listen, and I do heartily recommend it.
Here in Appalachia, it's ramp season, and that means many small towns have their annual ramp feed to help raise money for their communities. One town has been celebrating their devotion to this garlicky leek for 77 years, Richwood, West Virginia. Richwood once thrived on lumber and coal. As those industries fell on hard times, so did the town. Every spring, though, this struggling Appalachian community celebrates its abundance of wild ramps with an event that locals call the Feast of the Ramson. Now, for those of you who may have tried ramps at an upscale restaurant in Pittsburgh or New York City, this is a whole different shebang. Richwooders cook ramps the way lots of mountain folks have been eating ramps for generations, cooked in plenty of bacon grease. The event is held every year on the third Saturday in April. Although the Richwood High School mascot is still a lumberjack, the town boasts itself as being the ramp capital of the world. Last year, our producer Roxy Todd attended the ramp feed.
The air is saturated with the smell of ramps, a pungent, garlicky, peppery smell, so strong that it eclipses almost everything in the room. There's also an aroma of bacon. The ramps have been fried in bacon grease and are served with brown beans and ham. A local songwriter, John Wyatt, is playing his Richwood ramp song for the hundreds of people waiting in line for their meal.
And the ramps begin to grow in the mountains. Then you'll know that it's springtime again.
Ramps are the first wild foods that appear in the forest.
Well, it's not all sunshine and roses with the ramps. The demand on ramps is exacting a heavy toll on the wild plants' populations, especially at the extreme ends of the growing range, scientists say. Until recently, recreational ramp harvests were permitted in most national parks. Ramps are one of the only plants with this kind of special treatment because of their deep cultural roots among the communities who've harvested them. At the Great Smoky Mountain National Park in North Carolina and Tennessee, the Park Service thought the practice would die out on its own over time, but they were wrong. Ramp harvesting in the park was banned in 2002. At the other end of the ramp's territory in Quebec, sales have been banned since 1995 after a study highlighted the plant's vulnerability. The problem is often exacerbated by the way that ramps are harvested. Almost all of the ramp production is from seeds. Not from seeds, excuse me, but from rhizomes, which is a web of underground stems that connect multiple ramp shoots together. And when you pull up the ramps, these rhizomes are uprooted along with the bulbs and the leaves. So they're then diminishing the potential of the ramp plant to reproduce. And that's according to Lewis Gross, a professor of ecology and evolutionary biology at the University of Tennessee. On average, a 10% harvest of ramps will take 10 years to grow back. But Gross cautions that that number can be deceiving. It could easily, he says, be 60 to 80 years recovery, even if you harvest once at 10%. And most of these populations, he goes on, are not harvested once. They're harvested pretty regularly. Believe it or not, Huffington Post ran an article on ramps not long ago and mentioned 5 things to remember about harvesting them, particularly if you're foraging as a group. And we list those things again in the show notes. Well, if foraging's not your thing, remember you can also grow your own ramps, although it isn't easy. Ramps grown from seed can germinate in 6 to 18 months, so this does take some patience and some planting. Once you have your ramps, what do you do with them? Well, they can be diced and used just as you would use onions, green onions, leeks, chives, etc., but they're much more potent. The little stinkers are typically served with ham and bacon, things like fried potatoes, brown beans, cornbread, etc. If you're a serious aficionado, you know it's an acquired taste. You take garlic and multiply that intensity by about 10. The mere scent of those who've recently eaten a mess of ramps has been known to clear a room. Basically, in upscale restaurants and so forth, they are paired well with the following: pasta, eggs, wild mushrooms, potatoes, stir-fried and raw greens, and pork. In the show notes, we even have a recipe for pickled ramps. And I have to say, it sounds pretty good. Well, I think that I've given you all the information that you need now to venture forth into the fresh spring air and find yourself some little stinkers of your own. Harvest them responsibly and do enjoy them with your friends and loved ones, because this is one delicacy you don't want to savor alone for a variety of reasons. And while you're foraging, remember to stay wild, my friends.
When the maple buds turn red on the hillside and the sarvis trees are blooming in the lane, and the ramps begin to grow in the mountains, then you'll know that it's springtime again. If you've never had the chance.
So that concludes our podcast for today. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you'll share it. And I hope you'll come back soon. Meanwhile, stay wild, my friends.